B-Pod Studios.
All right, there he was. There's the Doug Peterson News Conference. Of course, the Doug Peterson Presser brought to you by Corporally's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. So now let's take a moment and let's go right to the Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley, the brand new one. And let's talk to our two guest analysts, Darren Walker and Trey Thomas. Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic. What's good with you?
Well, nothing much. Actually, nothing at all is good with me after yesterday. Darwin, man, how you been, man?
Man, I've been great up until yesterday. I've been awesome, you know. But, man, I'm still bleeding right now from such a, you know, close bad loss, just like all the fans, you know.
I know. Well, it's great to have you two guys, Big Trey and Darwin, together again live from the Outback. And Trey, I'm going to start with you. First of all, what did you think of what Doug had to say in his news conference? And, you know, what did you thought kind of stood out to you?
Pretty much that he put it on kind of on the offensive line a little bit with just some of the comments that he made that, hey, we're trying to stay in rhythm, but you have a free runner coming through, that they need to fix some protection, that there are some stunts, some games. And that's always been a situation with this offensive line and how they handle picking up games and stunts. And that's always been a struggle. So, you know, Doug sees that and he's pointing it out.
Just real quick, a follow-up off of that. Junis had said, hey, look, and I thought his idea was a good one. I mean, why go with Jason automatically as the starter? And why, since the rookie, since Dillard was playing good football, was that a mistake, Trey?
I mean, at the end of the day, Jason is your starter. I get what you're saying, like, hey, Dillard's supposed to be your guy that's up and coming, but Jason Peters is your starter. That's your guy. It's his position to own until he doesn't want to play it anymore. Yeah. I get where you're saying that, hey, man, go
I love
put
him.
Dillard in the game.
But
yeah,
you know,
I think Dillard is going to be there, but you know, I think it's Jason Peters' position. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame left tackle.
I know. You're right. I mean, you're right. Like, only problem is Dillard comes in cold, and in the first play, he gets bull rushed back into Carson.
Well, that's the nature of the business. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He should stay ready. Stay on the bike. You know what the deal is.
You gotta be ready.
You know what I'm saying? We can't sit up there and prep you. You're a backup tackle.
Yeah.
Stay ready.
Stay ready. I hear you. I get you. All right, Darwin, what stood out to you with Doug and the day after? I mean, obviously, I mean, their offensive woes were for everyone to see. What stood out to you from Doug?
I mean, to be honest with you, he sounded like just the normal beleaguered, beaten head coach after a bad football game.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hard to understand much of what he was just kind of mumbling and, like, you know, down in the hole. But he deserved to be down in the hole right now the way our offense played.
Yeah. I mean, what'd you think of his performance, Trey? What'd you think of – what grade would you give the coach off of yesterday?
I mean, you didn't win. So, I mean, I got to go a D on that performance just because of – you know, you started off strong with some of you had a couple different wrinkles. I thought the offense was moving. You came up with some different stuff, but then it kind of got stale in that second half. And, of course, you know going into halftime that Bill Belichick is going to go in there and he's going to make whatever adjustments that he's going to make. You need to be ready to make adjustments as well. Now, I know you lost Miles Sanders, so then now you're dealing with Boston, who just fumbled for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no other running backs besides Boston. So, I thought that the offense got extremely stale. You know, the creativity just went out the window, you know, once Lane was down. And I don't think that they did a good job of just trying to get Carson moving around a little bit. Some of those little sprint right passes. You saw Tom Brady do it a couple times where he just needed a quick 5 or 6 yards and he would just roll out and go throw a ball. You know, we want to see some of that as well for Carson. Just some quick little sprint rights. Get 5, 6 yards. Stay ahead of the downs. Keep the ball moving.
No misdirection either. And I get to your point about utilizing Carson's leg. Darwin, I mean, don't you got to utilize his legs a little bit?
I think you do. But in a situation like this where you got this many injuries at receiver, you know, your running back gets hurt in the game, their back is against the wall. And this is where your head coach has to get creative and understand where your strengths are and play to them as best you can. But on the flip side of that, you got to think about, speaking of the Hall of Fame, you got a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Belichick where he's going to take away your best player every single game. He's always going to do that, just like Jim Johnson was defensively.
Yeah.
When he comes into a game, he's going to figure out, okay, who's the most productive player in your system? And you could argue that's Ertz right now. And he eliminated him by double-teaming him, and Romo and the cast, they were right. He eliminated Ertz. And so by doing that,
Belichick to do that, Darwin. Like, you know, You look at that Eagles receivers who are by far the worst collection in the league. You go, all right, well, I'm going to take away Ertz and go ahead. I'll man up everybody else. Go make a play.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out you eliminate Ertz, you take a big part of the offense away. So that's exactly what they did. So to me, the way you combat that is you get creative with the offense. You start doing some things that's outside the box.
Yeah.
But, you know, they only have so much to work with. And let's be honest. I know we'll probably get into this later on in the show.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is right now, Carson Wentz is just an average quarterback. Maybe even a little below average. And, yeah, I said it. Write it down. Call it what you want to call it. But that's the truth.
I'm going off of what I see.
Eyes ain't lying to me.
All right, dog. Here's the thing. I agree. Like, he did not play well yesterday.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the quarterback in a minute. But, I mean, you got to admit, these receivers are terrible.
I've been saying that for 2 years. Our receivers are just, right now, some of them couldn't make my high school football team the way they catch the football. I'm just being honest. Yeah. But, now, don't get me wrong, with Alshon and D-Jack. And
well, D-Jack's here.
Those are good receivers. But right now, you beat up, man. So you got to, you know, this is the time. If you're a backup player, because I've been in this position before, coming into a team where, you know, they had a great player in front of you and you get your opportunity, now you gotta seize the moment. This is your moment.
Yeah, I don't know that feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't relate to what you're talking about.
Right? Are you trying to be funny or
what? Cherry's pedigree, baby.
I stepped in and was starting right away, so I can't relate to what
you're saying. Okay,
all right. Cherry's what you call pedigree.
I didn't get my first opportunity until yours truly, Mr. Hollis Thomas, got injured.
That's right.
I got my first opportunity, and I never looked back 7 years after that, 7 years straight. But, again, you know, I don't know what Trey trying to say right now. We're going to be tossing some furniture in here in a minute.
Facts that I can't relate to what you're talking about.
Hey, Trey, real quick.
But I'm just saying that I relate to the situation.
Yeah.
When you get an opportunity, you have to seize that moment. This is your opportunity of a lifetime. You got to go out there and you got to play every snap like it's your last snap. You got to want it. You can't leave nothing on the field. You got to go in there and play and say, no matter what happens today, everything I got, everything that's in me will be left on this field. Yeah. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that from our receivers when you get an opportunity like this.
I look at the receiving coach, and I'm like, well, man, what do you do here?
Yeah.
You know, when you have a second, third-round picks, you have Whiteside, you have Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the Mac Hollins that was streaking down the field against Washington? You know, what are you doing here?
Did you see anything out of Whiteside?
Nothing. You know, he had one catch, and I think
Carson scrambled around for 8 seconds to get the ball down the field. Yeah,
and I think there was a comment where he was like, "We were getting open, really." You know, but also too, I noticed that because we were talking with this with McNabb a little bit earlier is that you don't see 3-step drops. You see a lot of everything is out of gun, and Carson is always looking to one side of the field where he'll say, everything is going left, but then you have a little rub route on the other side. He's not even looking at it because he's so focused on.
I'm
looking at the receiving coach, and I'm also looking at the quarterback coach because the players are only going to do what you train them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what are you doing in practice to get them to even look at the other side of the field and know that, hey, the defense is coming, is going to, safety is rolling to the left. Let me look to the right because I have man to the right. So, yeah, just little stuff like that I'm not seeing progress with this team.
All right, boys, do me a favor.
Let me add to that, though.
Okay, real quick, hold the thought, Doc, because we got to take a quick TO, all right?
Okay.
And then we'll come back out to you guys and we'll talk to some people, some of our callers. We'll break this all down. We'll talk about Carson. We'll talk about Doug. We'll talk about where they're at. How far can this season still be saved? And we'll get a lot of reaction on the phones with our fans and at the Outback Steakhouse with Trey Thomas and Darwin Walker. Don't forget Outback celebrating its grand opening in Oxford Valley today with a fundraiser benefiting Operation Homefront. You guys go out and see, and you can help out the military families who struggle and really need help with household expenses. 50% of sales from meals today. All the proceeds go to the organization so you can enjoy some great Outback Steakhouse food and help a great cause. Let me tell you about LaBruciano, shall we? Oh, if God forbid you need a new roof, right? You're in that spot, you're going, oh no, I need a new roof. I've seen these home improvement jobs go bad. It's ugly. Not if you choose, however, the master. Anthony LaBruciano Roofing, that's where you need to go. You live in PA, you don't worry about anything. You go to the master. The master will help you out. CertainTeed 5-star select shingle master. That's what Anthony is. Now, why is that important? First of all, CertainTeed makes the absolute best shingles and roofing products on the market. And only the top contractors are awarded CertainTeed 5-star select master certification. And from the very start, you'll deal directly with the owner, Anthony. He's the best, but you're going to love him. He'll respond to your calls quickly, all right? They use only the finest CertainTeed products. Your job's done right the first time. There's just, they handle everything. You need a new roof? Trust me. Go see my guys, LaBruciano Roofing. Go see Anthony. Call them. 610-265-ROOF. Or check him out online. PAroofpros.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
12 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Berg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts.
What up?
All right. Back live to our day after Eagles discussion. Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas live at Outback. Make sure you head to the Outback, the new Outback in Oxford Valley. The boys are there now. Did you guys get enough to eat?
I'm just hanging out right now. You know, I'm getting ready for my swimsuit modeling career. You know, so I might get a little salad a little later on, you know.
Nice.
I'm trying to lean this thing out, man, a little bit, you know.
I'm having me a little drink right now. So.
just a little water, you know, just to make sure just you stay hydrated.
There you go. I have another one coming after this, though.
Good for you. Good for you guys. Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas live at the Outback in Oxford Valley. All right, I got a couple things for you guys, and then I want to open it back up to the phone lines and have the people chime in. But let me ask you both about Carson. I want you to assess Carson. Darwin, I'll allow you to go first since you had already stated that you felt right now he was playing mediocre. Give me a little bit more in-depth and break it down for me what you think he did wrong yesterday and where he's at right now and take into account his weapons.
All right. Well, before I go into that, you know I got to plug my company. And I made a bet yesterday with a really good friend of mine on our board. Not yesterday. This is last week in our board meeting. Her name is Judy Nish from Nish Engineering. And I bet her that we were going to spank the Patriots. And obviously we didn't. So, Judy, there goes your shout out. And also, our company is Pinoni. And I want to send a shout out to all of our board members at Pinoni in Philadelphia, headquartered right here in Philadelphia. Our great CEO, Dave DeLizza, Peter Coop, Stacy McPeak, and all the others.
All right,
anybody I miss, I don't have time.
All right, yeah, I need you to answer the question. You didn't win an award. You're trying to break it down for me. Come on, brother.
Let me break it down. First off, let me just get the city needs an attitude reset at this point when it comes to Carson. Right now, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that he's a bad quarterback. Understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying he is just average. He's middle of the pack at this point.
Well, you got to give me why.
I'm going to relax, baby. We got time. We got 2 hours here.
Come on, man. Let's go.
All right. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And if you interrupt me again, you're going to make me forget more stuff. But before I got interrupted, what I was going to say was he's just an average quarterback. And here are the things that I think make him average. First off, I talked to Trey about this before the show, and that was I don't think his deep ball accuracy's there. It's never been there. I've watched him now since he's been here. I don't think he's ever been a great thrower of the ball deep. Now, does he have a strong arm? Absolutely. But he's not accurate going down the field. And if you look yesterday, I mean, again, he don't have anybody to throw the ball to. But even before that, he struggles. Listen, he didn't struggle with Deshaun Jackson.
He did not
throw the ball. Yeah. So again, I'm just saying I have an issue with that. Then the next thing I would mention is that I feel like when you're getting a sack, you got to protect the football. When you're going to get sacked, protect the football.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That hurt us yesterday.
All right.
I think that's another big deal. Then I think he's got to do a better job of recognizing when teams are blitzing. You know, if you know a blitz is coming, if you look at Tom Brady, for example, once he sees blitz, he in his mind, he knows where he's going to the ball. He knows who his hot receiver is. That receiver's going to break whatever route they're on off, and he's going to get the ball completed to that receiver. And it comes out so quick, it doesn't matter that you're blitzing. He can hurt
you. I agree with you. However, you know, part of that is on the coaching staff, too. Like, you got to – I don't ever see them throwing that hot spot. I mean, let me ask you a question, Trey. You break this down all the time with me. We sit there and watch the film. When is he ever going three steps balls out?
Never. It's always kind of a – you know, with him being in gun, they play more of that five-step, seven-step kind of timing. So it's never anything that's one, two, three, get it out of there. Because you never see him really throw the ball from being underneath the center. So he's always in the shotgun. Now, one of the things that I look at with him is that you see a Carson Wentz that he's not an anticipation thrower. And for him to be an anticipation thrower, he needs to trust his receivers. And it looks like he doesn't really trust his guys out there to make a play because there's a difference between being, being NFL open. There are times that, you know, your receivers have just a little space. You got to lead them into it and just get the ball to them. But he doesn't trust his guys to make that catch because they haven't proved it yet because, I mean, they're leading the league in drops.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to his deep ball, I think that if you have a player like Deshaun Jackson that can always, you can never out-throw him, or overthrow him, then, you know, you're good to go. But the one play where you have Mac Hollins streaking up the sideline, you have to make a better throw than to throw him out of bounds like that.
I agree.
But, you know, to me it just seems like, you know, he waits until his guys are all the way open. I think that he's focusing on one side of the field instead of seeing the entire field. When it comes to blitz, you know, you would like for him to hit more of those hot reads a little quicker. But I think also, too, you're dealing with a quarterback that's shell-shocked. I mean, you know, you look at this game yesterday, he was sacked 5 times, hit 12. So, I mean, you know, he's going to be a little skittish in the pocket.
All right, so answer me one question, then we're going to go to the phones and you guys are going to talk to the people. How come Nelson Aguilar doesn't attempt to get his feet inbounds in the back of the end zone?
You know what? I took that as the first play. I'm like, yeah, he should have dragged his feet. I was more impressed that he caught the ball. It was one of the first times that he had an over-the-shoulder catch.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've seen him have an over-the-shoulder catch this year. That was always one of his bad problems because he had the one play.
Yeah, but he might as well be in the parking lot. I mean,
I know, but he caught it. That's all I focused on.
How could he not try to tell?
But he caught the ball. He was so focused. Oh, you know what? This is going to be a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch. Yes, out of bounds, but it was a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch.
Also, look, instead of putting all the onus on the receivers, let's also look at Carson from the standpoint of look at the other great quarterbacks around the league. Matter of fact, look at Tom Brady. Other than Randy Moss, name me one other great receiver.
Honestly, we're talking about the GOAT. You're bringing up the GOAT, Darwin. Yeah, you're right. Like, he's the best player in the history of the league.
That's
come
exactly
on, bro.
Right. But I hear you. I agree with you. But I'm just saying, if you want to see the difference in greatness and average, I'm giving it to you, baby.
Yeah, you're giving me the best quarterback in the history of the planet, of the game.
Okay, well, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, bro.
So all I'm saying is, those guys make the receivers around them better. They make receivers
you still
better.
You catch the ball.
You I ask mean, any great.
You have
you
to
ask,
catch the ball.
Dude, let me ask you a question.
If a quarterback makes you better,
listen.
Yeah,
he
but you still got to catch the ball.
It's absurd.
That's true.
I don't care how much space you make if you don't catch the ball. What good is it?
I'm not saying our receivers aren't terrible. They're terrible. They bad. But I'm saying your quarterback. He needs to get something to blame, too.
Yeah,
he
got to
put the ball in position where it's impossible for the
you had the one.
All right, hold on. We got some people. Dwayne in Richmond, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic.
He was streaking up the sideline.
Hey, y'all got me burning up here. I couldn't wait for you to put me on.
What's up, T?
I'm going to say this. You said this a couple weeks ago, that you were scared of Doug really hurting Carson Wentz and his talent. Okay? You said it. You were. Carson Wentz is a gunslinger. He's Pat Mahomes. He's Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Mr. Darwin, I got some questions for you, sir. Okay? Against the Redskins game, like we said, Carson Wentz threw a great deep ball twice to DeSean Jackson. He can make all the throws. In 2017, he was an MVP quarterback. Okay? Against the Atlanta Falcons, right? If Carson Wentz played bad, he still put us in a position where the receivers needed to make plays to win the game against Atlanta. Against Detroit, if Carson Wentz played bad, if he played bad, he still put us in a position to win.
Hold on.
I'm going to let you talk because I don't have much time.
Right. Okay.
If Goddard catches the ball in Detroit, okay, if the receivers don't drop balls, okay, we have a chance to win, or we do win.
All right, Dwayne, let Darwin respond.
Yeah. So let me say this real quick. I'll put you back on, Dwayne,
but let Darwin respond. Go ahead.
When you got a receiver, and this is as a defender, as a defensive player for a long time, when you got a receiver like DeSean Jackson that can blow the top off of your defense, you play defense totally different, okay, because you have to. He can blow the top off of defense, and the reason why I bring that up is because any quarterback worth their weight in salt can throw a deep ball to DeSean Jackson. So all you got to do is throw it as hard as you freaking can, and he's going to go get it. You understand? We don't have
that. You're taking it away.
We need accuracy now.
Okay, but can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead. Real quick, last thing.
Two more points.
Last thing, one point. Hurry up. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, I see receivers all around the league making plays for their quarterback.
Yeah,
exactly. Deep quarterbacks, they're not accurate. They're not that accurate. They got receivers that's making plays.
You want the kid to be perfect on every play. It's a great point. Yeah. Go ahead, Trey.
Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, newsflash. You're right. Wentz isn't Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, far from it.
But his receivers, aren't making plays for him, though, dude. Like, for real.
I agree they're not making plays. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you guys. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
crushing the quarterback. And you're going, he's not Brady or Rodgers. Well, yeah, you're right. He's not Brady or Rodgers. We agree.
Well, the only way you're going to know the difference in average and specials is if I explain to you what they are.
You don't need to do that because we have eyes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't need to go there.
But I'm talking to the people out there.
Yeah.
All right? We got an average quarterback right now, and people got to face to that. We got to face up to that. Now, can he get better?
What responsibility does Doug – Hold on. What responsibility?
Is he the top five quarterback?
Dude, of course not. I mean, seriously. Of course he's not. Were you serious about that with that question? Trey Thomas, what responsibility does Doug Peterson have in this whole thing?
I think he has a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, you need to be checking. Doug Peterson is going to be the overall guy. He has a big responsibility in making sure that his position coaches are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And when you have a receiving core, you know, I, of course you want Carson to make the better throw, to be a little bit quicker with getting the ball out, and to make some, you know, see the entire field. But your receive, your position coaches need to be pulling their weight as well. I mean, when you have a receiving core that's number one in drops, that's just like me looking at the offensive line. If I have a quarterback that's been, that's leading the league in sacks, I got to look at the offensive line coach and say, look, what are you doing? What do you do? What do you say you do here? If you, if you're allowing my quarterback to get his head taken
yes.
off.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
I
yes.
think Doug needs to get a little bit. It's the people that I think some of those position coaches aren't pulling their weight. Because, I mean, how when you have receivers that are dropping the ball left and right, whatever the confidence issue is, if it's spending more time, jug machine, whatever you need to do to get these guys right, how's it taking this long to get Whiteside on the field when he had a preseason game where he just looked all world?
Yeah. Yeah.
He looked all right. And I know it was a preseason game and all that sort of stuff, but he looked like he was ready to get out there and make some plays on the field. Then it's just everybody falls apart.
At the end of the day, in summary, we got receivers that are terrible and a quarterback that's serviceable right now. And that's just the truth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I you might not like it, but it's the truth. That's just a fact.
What's a fact? That Carson Wentz.
Receivers that are terrible and Carson Wentz right now. He's serviceable.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's what I want you to, go deeper than just the surface. What about, what can be fixed here? How do you fix the quarterback? You're tied into the quarterback, right?
Yeah,
so at some point, you saw something from him that said he was a franchise quarterback. You got to somehow get back to that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you can do to fix it is kind of like how we did with the run game where we got underneath the center. You know, you add some of those three-step drops into the equation. Teach them how to see the entire field, how to anticipate what that safety's going to do, how to not focus on just one side of the field to see, okay, hey, you know what? Hey, the safety's kind of rolling that way. I know I have man on this side, or if it's a fire zone, whatever those little different runs. Because you had one play where I think it was a sack where you had a rub play on the right where you had Dallas and Jordan. They had a nice little rub route. I mean, Dallas was coming clean, but he didn't have the time to get the ball because he was looking left, and then here comes the sack. So, you know, I think also, too, if you're going to make him better, you got to tighten up this protection. You can't have a situation where he's getting his head knocked off every game.
Right. I agree with that. And I feel like, you know, like Trey said, going to some three-step drop, short passing game, I'm not saying he can't get better. I think ultimately he can be a good quarterback. It's just right now he's not. And I feel like on not just the three-step drops, but also you got to hold on the football. You cannot cause turnovers. You know, that's
right.
A big deal. You know, turning the teams that win the turnover battle wins the game usually about 80% of the time, if I'm not mistaken. That's an old stat. But I'm telling you, you win that turnover battle, you got a great chance to win the football game. You cannot turn the football over. And so for me, those right there are simple things you could do to help him. And then, oh, and one other thing. Zach Ertz is kind of a security blanket for him. I said this last year. I feel like he's got to get through his progressions better. You can't just rely on one player, because when you have a coordinator that comes in and takes away, eliminates your best player, then what do? So, you know, that's the other thing that he's got to get better at.
All right, sit tight. We're going to come back in just a moment and you'll talk to all the people. We're back on the phones. I need your help, people. And we will go back to Outback Steakhouse where Darwin Walker and Trey Thomas are there hanging out. And don't forget, go see the guys and help a great cause, Operation Homefront, the new Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley. I'm going to tell you about the Fino Law. You know, listen, sometimes life happens, you need a lawyer, right? You need a lawyer? Well, guess what? You need a local lawyer, a team that understands the local climate, that knows it, right? That's why I give you DeFino Law, a law firm born and raised in Philadelphia. A team of highly experienced lawyers answer your call right away who will brawl for you in court. My boys at DeFino Law, the team for you, Vince and Mike DeFino. I grew up with these guys. Great, no-nonsense guys, wonderful lawyers. They hit hard for their clients. They're right off of Broad Street. Loyal, local team of heavy-handed attorneys. Tackle the tough issues, get the most for their clients. You call DeFino Law, you're going to be sitting and talking to a real lawyer right away. not referred through the assembly line, some strange office, a lawyer you never met, for over 60 years. The Fino Law has been fighting for working people over Philadelphia. So whether you had a personal injury at work, an auto accident, a slip and fall, have a loved one who was a victim of a wrongful death, an estate or criminal matter, get to know the Fino Law. 215-551-9099. Let a real Philadelphia law firm fight for you. DeFinoLawyers.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, welcome back. It's the day after cleaning up the mess that was yesterday. Certainly by the offense. Defense played really, really well. Offense could not move the ball. Eagles go down to New England, and we're picking up the pieces right now. Our 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly Proud and Philly Strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyers.com. We would have done the Bring Heat line, but we have Trey Thomas and Darwin Walker live at the Outback Steakhouse, Oxford Valley. And Bring the Heat line is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Winter is here. You know, it's cold outside. Your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home. Please, you need help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. All right, we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. Let's bring back Darwin and Trey. Trey, quick question for you. How demoralizing is it for the offense to struggle now? And knowing that you got Seattle and you got Russell Wilson up next.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. You know, this is a tough pill right here because, you know, this is one of those games that you probably have circled on your calendar. It's another chance for you to go after the team that you beat to win the Super Bowl. So here you go. Here's your moment. So I think this was extremely frustrating to have a game like this and to have a showing like this. But then, too, it's something to learn from. And then just so you can get ready for Seattle because, you know, they're going to come with the same similar type of game plan because, you know, with the NFL, it's like everybody's going to see what worked against you and they're just going to dress it up a different way and give you the same exact thing until you can defend it. And also this time, now you got Russell Wilson that can scramble and can make plays with not only his legs, his arm as well.
All right, Darwin, let me ask you about the defense because that was the bright spot of the day. The defense played really kept the Eagles in it. The Patriots had incredible starting field position all game long. The 48, the 22, their own 48 twice. I mean, they had great field position, yet the defense held. It's healthy now. What did you like and who did you like coming from the defense?
Well, there's a lot of good things I could say about the defense, but interestingly enough, you just mentioned about the field position. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about that. That was a major factor in the game. I mean, especially I forget his name, but the punt returner. If you catch the ball, why are you catching the ball at the five? Let it go into the end zone, get the touchback. I didn't get that. You coaching. Know, I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely coaching. You can't do that. I mean, you're putting your when you play against a team that has the pedigree of the Patriots, you can't make the simple mistakes that you can get away with maybe some other teams. You have to be, you know, as close to perfect as you possibly can because you know they're going to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like the field position battle was huge in the game. Now, getting to the defense like you talked about, even with the field position being the way it was, the defense came to play. They came to play. I mean, to hold this team, which I believe is one of the top offenses in the league, to 17 points, that's massive. That is massive. I was totally shocked by the secondary play. They actually showed up yesterday. I was shocked. I thought Tom would probably really pick us apart back there, and that's not what happened. And the thing I was most impressed with, believe it or not, and it may surprise you, is Jim Schwartz. Because if you go back and look at the Super Bowl trade, Tom had 500 some yards against us in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 506.
Yeah, this game is the opposite. All right, I mean,
slightly different personnel. There was no Gronk. There was no.
That's true. That's true.
And Brandon Cooks was out early, and Dorsett got hurt. And
what I liked about what Schwartz did, though, was that he mixed it up. He didn't just stick with that vanilla cover two defense. What I saw a lot, Trey, of was a lot of bare front, especially in the first half. And, Trey, as you know, or at least my experience as a defensive lineman, whenever you go to a bare front, those offensive linemen, they get worried because the center's covered up with a nose guard and you got 2-3 techniques. Uh-huh. And that's what they did a lot of, and they did a lot of stunts out of that, which was very effective against Tom. It affected him. Tom and I are the same age. Believe me, he don't want to get hit. And when he was getting hit, that was affecting him. And that bare front they was in was very effective against him. And I feel like just as an overall game plan defensively, it was really good defensive game plan. So I give Jim Schwartz props yesterday for the way the defense played. Now, you can pick out a player too.
Without a doubt. I think you're right about that. I think you're right about that. Yeah. All right, let's get some of the people on. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas. Hey, Glenn.
Yo, what's up, G? What's happening, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
Yo, the thing that really, listen, there's a lot of things that were frustrating yesterday, right? You know, it was funny, though, hearing Doug's press conference talk about, you know, Carson having to work within the confines of the offense and take what's given to him. And it just kind of reminded me, the flashback, the way that he would talk about Foles 2 years ago, right? I mean, it was just kind of funny. Just don't do too much. Take what's given to you, right?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of funny. Man, just how, just, you know, the quarterbacks really just have to do their job, right? I mean, don't do too much. And how many times did
he threw
like
40 times, though. I mean, you know, you can say do your job. You drop back to pass 40 times. That's like the Sixers shooting 35 threes in a game. Where you go, they shouldn't be shooting those second threes because you can't shoot the three ball.
Right, so everyone's to blame. There's plenty of blame, whether it's how he constructed the offense, with bringing old players back who you knew were just one injury from losing the season, right? So, I mean, there's blame everywhere. One of the things I thought was interesting, I was watching your boy Baldy had a thing on Twitter kind of showing how the wide receivers just did a really bad job of really running their routes. And how the Patriots kind of just knew exactly what everything was happening, everything was coming at them, and they were taking away those short routes. And then in the meantime, Carson's got to hold the ball, and the next thing you know, the line's getting pushed right back in his face. And it was just like, you know, again, it was a game. The thing that's really more frustrating, I can take it if you're going to go out and get your ass handed to you by the Patriots, one thing. But that game was utterly winnable. I mean, and what
The Patriots, and thanks, G, the Patriots left all kinds of points on the field, all that really good field position. They settled for 3 field goals in the first half. They left field position in the second half, and yet it still came down to the last drive. And if Aguilar, Trey, makes that catch, somehow tracks it better, the game's tied.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing in Atlanta. That's the same thing against Dallas. And now here we go again against, who did we just play?
New England.
Yeah. So here you go again. And, I mean, I think Carson did exactly what he was supposed to do, put the ball in position, put a little air under it. All right, you know, hey, let's make a play. This is what you get paid, what, $9 million to do?
Yeah, and if there's anything positive about the game other than the defense, you got to think this game was very winnable against probably the best or one of the best teams in the league.
Their record is good, but they're not.
Don't think they're one of the best teams in the league right now?
No.
I would say they're in the top 5 teams in the league right now.
I mean, they're good, but this is not the same New England Patriots of old. Just with the
injuries. Yeah, a couple things.
And Tom Brady doesn't look the same either.
Well, you know, they're missing a huge piece of their offensive line, and you can see how much the pressure bothers Brady. He also was without Dorsett, and he's your only speed guy right now. So they're down, you know, they're down some skill guys as well. So that offense is not as potent as it was when Gordon was there and had Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
That's true. I mean, they're not as potent as they was. I'll agree with that. But I think they're playing system ball right now. and kind of like what Doug is saying, play within the system and take what the team gives you. They're doing that, I think, pretty well. I mean, listen, what are they, 9-1?
Yeah,
you're doing something right. What did Parcells say? You are what your records say you are.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you got you one know? Of the top defenses in the game, too, that create turnovers. I mean, right
That's
now.
That's true. That's
I mean,
true.
What they're first in the league when it comes to turnovers. I mean, they had 19 interceptions. You 30-something sacks. I mean, you know, this is a front that can get after it. Their secondary, you got a secondary that can get up there and play man, and then that gives your defensive front time to get there. You know, that because to me, a sack is based off of coverage.
That's true. That's
true. You
know,
you got to have coverage there, and I think that these guys can get out there and throw the timing off of the receivers, get the receivers off their routes, and then that gives that defensive front a little time to get there.
One of the things, real quick, Darwin, one of the things that we saw on display was the fact that at halftime, Belichick and Josh McDaniels make the adjustments, right? They came out offensively with tempo. So they tempoed them.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, it's amazing. I didn't know you was that smart, man. You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to go right to.
I throw right back at you. I didn't know you could think that way.
Yeah, you know I love you, but.
No, you don't.
But no, but what I was saying was, I was going to say that they came in after the half, and it was like Belichick saw that he was being stymied by our defense, and he realized, okay, let's come back out. Let's go tempo. Let's get him on the heels a little bit. And, you know, it worked. Momentum is so important in this game. People don't realize the impact of momentum. Whoever the team that has momentum usually wins, and that's so important. So I think he needed to get it back in their favor, and he did at the half.
You need help sustaining drives, too, I think, on our side of the ball, just because, I mean, after that 116-play drive, you didn't have a series that didn't go over six plays.
Now,
so I mean, now. You know, you can't win like that.
No,
you can't.
No, you're right on. Let's get to Jeff in Camden. You're on with Darwin Walker and Big Trey. Hello, Jeff. All right, no, Jeff. Let's go to Mike. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. Please let me get this out because I've been waiting a long time.
Yeah, sure.
This is directed at Trey and Darwin.
Yes.
I agree with both your points. A lot of points. My main point, and then I'll go over the other ones. My main point is I feel more positive today than I did last week. Why? Because now we got a defense that can stop people and not give up 20-point leads. Okay? We got a championship defense. But now the other side of the coin is our offense. I think Lane Johnson killed us by going out. We can run the ball. We were running down this road. That hurt us. Okay? And when, I don't know what's going on with Peterson, but when you have 2nd and 2, why are you throwing the ball? I don't understand that, okay? And, okay, those are some of my points. The thing with Wentz is, though, we keep waiting for him to show up and keep saying, oh, yeah, yo, yeah. How many receivers were open on that final drive that he overthrew, okay? That offense runs because Nick Foles took what they gave you and it ran. I'm not saying that Wentz doesn't have more protection.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. So Nick Foles.
Did Nick Foles ball yesterday?
Once again, Nick Foles is haunting Carson Wentz. The specter of Nick Foles. Nick Foles was in Indianapolis yesterday and lost big, but it doesn't matter because, again, the last time they played the Patriots and won, Nick Foles was the quarterback and it was the Super Bowl, Trey.
I know, but come on.
I know, no, and you know it. You know that in this town, it's going to follow him around. Look at yesterday.
I know.
They showed the Philly statue.
I know. You know, and it even affected how New England, they even did a throwback to Tom Brady.
Yes.
So he could try to, you know.
Yes.
I know, man. But you got to let it go.
I hear you.
You know, everybody has this memory of Foles, of what he did for the Super Bowl. But when he came in against Oakland, against Dallas, they don't remember that Nick Foles. They don't remember that Nick Foles when he came back after the Super Bowl either, against Tampa Bay and against who else? Atlanta? They don't remember that Nick Foles. You only remember the Super Bowl Nick Foles.
Yeah. Darwin, the idea of Carson being stymied and haunted by a memory, really. I mean, and right. That's, and he's forced to be perfect, and he's judged on being perfect.
Let me tell you, I have this battle with my own father because he's still mad that the Eagles let Nick Foles go. I'm like, Dad, get over it. Get over it. I mean, you had a first-round pick. He's the future. He's the franchise. They were vested in Carson Wentz, and they had to move forward. That's just the bottom line. But, you know, Carson, you know, I feel for Carson to an extent because until he gets that load off his shoulders, he's got to beat New England. He's got to get the Super Bowl. This city's going to hold you accountable, man. That's the way it works in Philly.
And the sad thing about it is that, I mean, he's coming out there. He's giving you everything that he has, 110%, every play, every down.
Yeah.
You know, and even when he was hurt, you know, he battled to get back on the field early. And then when you do all of that and you push yourself to get to a certain situation and your players aren't playing up to your level, that can be extremely frustrating. Especially Absolutely. When now you have all of these stories coming out again and all of this other stuff happening that's swirling around what goes on around. And I think that the guy is a true leader. I think that he gets out, he tries to get out there and give you everything he has. It's not his fault that his players are letting him down when they're leading the league in drops.
Mentally, he's definitely got a steep hill to climb. He needs to be, he's got to have thick skin and just basically block out all the stuff that you're hearing in the media. And I mean, that includes the radio everywhere. You know, guys like me, he got to block all that out and say, you know what? I'm going to focus and hone in on what my job is and be the best I can be, and it'll be fine. If he can't do that, then that'll be a problem in this town.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Pat and Ardmore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Pat.
Hello. I'm lost for words here. Oh, Howie. Howie has to take total responsibility for this debacle. You know, after the Super Bowl, he realized he had an old team in front of him. Mm-hmm. He could have made changes at that point. He could have made changes this year, and he hadn't done it. And now we have an average to a less to a mediocre football
yes,
team,
yeah.
And a quarterback. And by the way, tear that damn statue down out front. That is stupid. Get rid of it. Okay, that's going to haunt us. That's going to haunt this quarterback for life. Get rid of it.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Look, personnel is an issue. I mean, you're right about that. They came in. They were very old. They were patchworks at certain pieces. And obviously, I mean, look, I love DeSean Jackson, too. But at that age, at 32, you know that he's dicey what he's going to be able to give you. And it turns out he gives you half.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, I think when you look at some of the moves that Howie, you know, did during these off seasons, they made emotional decisions instead of business decisions. You know, where you made this decision that, you know what, hey, man, I love you. Like, D-Walk, I love you, man, you know? So, can you be on my team? Yeah, it's like, they made the emotion instead of, you know, because a lot of people would get on Banner and just be like, oh, man, Banner just, hey, once you get to a certain age, you're done. You know, he doesn't deal with you. But at the same time, you're still trying to build something, and you know that, hey, we got to stay young. You have to stay fresh. You keep making emotional decisions, and then now look at where you are because you have all of these guys that you have this deep feeling for instead of making business decisions that, you know what, it might hurt some people's feelings, but we got to do it because we're trying to get better.
All right, if we're going to be real, we're going to keep it 100% here. Two calls ago, the guy said, well, I feel great because we have a championship defense. Is this a championship defense?
No.
It's certainly a chance.
Oh, not even, no.
Right?
Not based off one game. You can't make the decision based off of one game. I thought yesterday they played great.
Yeah, the front was terrific. Darby played really well. However, again, we talked about what was wrong with New England, and it's really, it just takes nothing away from how the defense played yesterday. But let's see that defense shut down the Seahawks now next week.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's true. You got to do it week in, week out. This is a what have you done for me lately league. I mean, that's the way it works. But I will say, you know, you got to give them credit for yesterday. They played well. One thing I liked about what they did yesterday, too, was when they did blitz when they didn't blitz sometimes, the linebackers walked up into the line of scrimmage. And you wouldn't believe how much help that is to defensive linemen. So if I'm a three technique defensive tackle, and my middle linebacker walks up in that A gap, and now I know that guard has to respect that A-gap because that's the closest distance to the quarterback. That makes a difference. So they were walking up, disguising blitzes when they weren't running them. And I think, especially in the first half, that was big. I hope they stick with this package more going forward. This was a creative and a very well-coached defensive game.
All right, let's go to Dylan in Ridley Park. Dylan, you're on with Trey Thomas and Darwin Walker. What's up, Dill?
Hey, cuz, how you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Good. I'm not doing too well between, you know, the Sixers.
I know,
the Flyers throwing three goals in this match.
I know. Same as you.
First thing I want to say is, I've been waiting for a while now. I have to get back to work here. But we just cannot draft whatsoever. We had no playmakers on defense or offense. I know the defense played well yesterday, but you had a chance yesterday to pick off Khan like two or three times. You got to take advantage of that. And that's what separates you from a 12-4 team to an 8-8 team. Another thing, too, you've got a $100 million quarterback laying on the ground, and there's not a person in sight to help him up. I don't get it. I don't understand. These receivers can't catch. I don't know if they're eating a bunch of popcorn before the game or if he just had a bad batch of bugs. Come in, I have no idea, but you look around the league and you see these receivers, no names, making simple catches, and we just cannot do it. I'm frustrated. I think you just got to blow it up, and try and stay.
Well, you can't blow it up until after the season, brother. So you got to be patient. And as disappointing as the loss was, they're still 5-5. And you know, I know we don't want to hear it today, but you have the Cowboys on December 22nd. That's still probably going to settle the division. We'll come back. We'll revisit with the fellas. Trey will break down the offensive line. We'll look at the front. We'll also look at one key play that really hurt the Eagles on that one drive. It was just one drive. It's a shame. One drive to start the second half. And here's the line from Dan Klecko on the text board. They could have played 10 quarters, and the Eagles still wouldn't have scored after the adjustments that Belichick made. We'll talk about it all. It's the day after. Let me tell you about Aaron's and the incredible snowblower that they do. That's right, old man winter. Snow and slush right around the corner. Do what I did. Don't let winter catch you off guard. Get yourself the most trusted name in snowblowers on the market. Be prepared with Aaron's, the king of snow. Aaron's snowblowers, handcrafted in the United States. One of the only all-steel construction machines, powerful engines that won't bog down in any condition. As a family-owned company that's been building extremely reliable products since 1933, I trust Aaron's to throw snow better and farther than any other snow throwers out there. Throw back with old man winter dishes out with Aaron's, the king of snow. You'll have your Aaron's snow blower year after year, and guess what? While the neighbors are all worried how they're going to get their car out of the driveway, you'll be fine. In fact, you should even help the neighbors out. That's what you should do. Just go Aaron's Snowblowers, most reliable snowblowers made in the United States.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 1:30. Day after. Couple things. Who are our winners for the Outback $50 gift card, my brother?
Our winners today are Kenny and Goose. They each won a $50 gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse.
Way to go, Kenny and Goose. And don't forget, you have dinner tonight, hanging around in the Oxford Valley area. Check out the new Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley. And celebrating their grand opening right there and fundraising, benefiting Operation Homefront, a nonprofit organization helping military families who struggle and need help with household expenses. 50% of sales from meals served from open to close tonight will be donated to the organization. So enjoy all the great stuff, the grilled steaks, the iconic Bloomin' Onion, chicken, seafood. Trey, you going to get a little Bloomin' Onion action?
No, I'm not a Bloomin' Onion guy.
No?
Hey, nah.
I'm a shrimp on the Barbie type of guy.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I'm a shrimp on the Barbie guy.
Yeah.
It's good right now, too.
Yeah.
All right, like good.
Aussie fries, you know, that's really a big fan of that.
All right. Good. There you go, brother. There you go. All right, a couple things. One, so where do you go from here? If you're a dog, you throw that out, you got Seattle coming in. Where's your head at with this team, Trey? I'll start with you.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What do you do now with Seattle coming in? You know, you're 5-5. You know that even though you're a game behind Dallas, they have a tough schedule. You have Seattle coming up, and you get to play them on the 22nd. Where's your head at with this team? What do you want to do? What do you do if you're Doug?
Oh man, right now it's just, you know, you're gonna have to take your medicine. You got to go back and look and see what did we do wrong here? You know, and that's just when any film study, you're gonna have to go back. Let's see where we could have made some changes. What could we have done to help this out a little bit? Maybe, first of all, you need to get Jordan Howard healthy. So you need to see where he is. I've never seen a team come out of the bye week worse than they were when they went in. So, you know, you need to get your guys healthy. So let's see where Jordan Howard is. And then also, too, I think you need to kind of look at, you got to teach Carson to, hey, man, you need – this is what's going on this side of the field, too. If you get this particular look on the defensive side of the ball, look, you know, you could possibly have something over there. I don't know what he's going to do to help build the trust in his receivers, though. You know, his receivers are just going to have to make plays.
Darn, what do you do? What do you tell this team now? You know, you got Seattle coming up. You're not dead by any long stretch. So what do you do?
No, you're definitely not dead. You got to take it one game at a time. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's what it comes down to. They got to focus on this game, and they got to win each game individually. And I think that's the approach you got to take. If you're Doug, you got to say, look, forget about everything else. Forget about what's happening outside. Everything's about Seattle Seahawks right now. We got to win this game at, you know, under all costs. So, you know, if that's the right way to say it. But no matter what, that's a must-win game. And I feel like, you know, for them – you got to look at this film, and you got to find some positives. Defensively, there was a lot of positives, you know. I think offensively, you got to find some positives somewhere, and you got to say, look, guys, we're not far from being where we need to be, but, you know, a play here and a play there, we can get there. You hold one of the best teams in the NFL. Go back to this, to 17 points. Best offenses in the NFL, 17 points. That's a positive. You got to pull that stuff out and more or less coalesce a team around coming together and saying, forget about everything else. We're going to play great this week.
I think one of the things, too, man, when you say, yeah, there were a lot of positive defensively, but there were too many times where you saw Brady extending the play. You know, now that's Tom Brady extending the play in the pocket.
But he's crafty like that, though.
But that's Tom Brady extending the play. You know, that's 10 yards for Russell Wilson.
That's true. Now, then that'll give you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Russell Wilson, to me, right now, is playing. He's the best quarterback in the game. Him and Lamar Jackson is right on his heels. But to me, Russell Wilson is playing unbelievable. That's the big problem this week, for sure.
Yeah.
But like said, those plays for Tom
and you have weapons. Now, the play that hurt them, to shame, but the 30-yard play, if you remember the pass to Burkhead that went for 30, and that play should have been tackled at a 2-yard gain, but Gary missed it, and he goes for 30.
Yeah, because that was the one play where Malcolm Jenkins got froze.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, and now you're having reports of, hey, we're in contract negotiations with Malcolm Jenkins, Zach Ertz, and who else that they were talking about trying to redo?
Yeah, I don't know that you need to. You don't need to go there. Worry about this season, okay?
Exactly. Because I mean, you have your hands full right now. You need to see where you're going to finish up. You know, with the rest of the season, just see where everybody is. But there is a lot to learn from this game. And two, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to have to do with Nelson. you know, to try to get his confidence back, because you're going to need him to finish up the season if you want to try to try to get anything going. And right now, he sounds like a broken man from that interview that he had.
And what's the deal with Alshon? When is he back? I mean, what is his?
I don't know.
He's day to day. I mean, they were saying Doug had said he was week to week at some point, so you expect him to come back. The problem with Alshon Jeffrey though is he can't run either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. He's pretty much been reduced to a possession receiver at this point.
And not only that, you got guys, nobody can run on this team. Like Jordan Matthews can't run. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can't run. And you got nobody other than Aguilar that can run. Your best weapon is Sanders on a wheel route.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miles Sanders can definitely run now.
But that's a problem, though, because, teams start playing you for that. They tried to hit him on the one yesterday, but the linebacker was right there on him. If you have an athletic, quick linebacker, that's taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to think, you know, if the Eagles are competitive, we getting late into the season, they got the Cowboys. If that game ends up being a division championship, you know, Cowboys got a linebacker who can cover a fast runner. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm looking way ahead there, but I'm just saying, you know, a loss is hard for everybody. It's hard for the fans. It's hard for the team. At the end of the day, you got to go back to work. You go back to the basics, the fundamentals. And you figure, you know, that's what you do. You look at the film. You correct the mistakes. You go back to the fundamentals. You come out and you play better the next week. It's never as bad as they say. It's never as good as they say. And if you can keep that in your head, I think, you know.
I think what was bad, though, Darwin, was that what was bad was that it was winnable, right? I think everybody feels the frustration that the game was winnable. It's one thing if it's like Minnesota, right, or the Cowboys the first time where you get blown off the field. It is what it is. But they didn't get blown off the field. I mean, that was a game the entire painstaking second half.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you get into the second half, you can't run the ball. You know, everything is pass, because all you have is Boston, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, Sanders is down. You had J.H.I., he can't play because his helmet's not right. You know what I'm saying? So who else? Corey Clement is on Mac Hollins' watch from last year. So, like, who do you have?
Yeah.
They don't have anybody.
They want to bring Sanders back after, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
They got to get players healthy. That's the bottom line. I mean, nobody could predict it that all these guys would have been down. Alshon, D-Jack. I mean, you're talking about major contributors to your offense. Nobody could have predicted that this would have been the case. You know,
except in fairness, you know what the problem is, Darren, is that people say, well, that's what you get when you rely on 32-year-old players.
Yeah,
that's true, but you got to think about this too, Anthony. I mean, look, Belichick does it every year with old guys. I mean, they bring in old free agents, all the time. At the end of the day, I don't want to let that excuse be a reason to, you know, say that these guys can't get it done.
But they're not. They're older guys, but they're not injury riddled. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, Belichick, I mean, you know what? When you look at what Belichick is doing, I have to look at the development that they do. You know, I think that that coaching staff is extremely good at developing players. And I think that that's where we're lacking when it comes to our assistant coaches. Yeah, they're not developing players.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Those Juan Castillos and Trenches, you know what I mean?
You don't have anybody that's developing players.
Yeah.
You're getting beat with some of the same stuff that you've been getting beat with for three years.
I think you're right on. I think the coaching staff.
When you're still getting beat by E.T., you had the one sack where Vitek just got blown by, right? So the guy ran by, I think it was the last sack. So Vitek gets blown by. You have J.P. on the left side with Isaac. J.P. sets at a 45 against a wide three technique. The wide three technique just rushes out, ricochets off J.P.'s inside hip, and then now he's getting in on the sack as well. That's coaching. You have to set vertical against a wide three technique.
Right, right.
Who's the one that's correcting that?
It's a great point.
That is a good point. And, you know, I look at other little things yesterday, like a bad snap at a crucial point in the game.
Yeah, Kelsey. And it was right after getting picked with a TT.
Yes,
dude, man. Like they get picked with tackle Tackle is one of the basic games. Like, that is, I mean, it's between guard and center. How are you struggling with that?
Well, sure. It's a great point. Listen, boys, we got to take a quick TO. That'll do it for the Oxford Valley portion. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out of your day over at the Outback Steakhouse. You guys get some steaks and get some fries.
Yes, and some thank drinks. You, Andy, for having me on here as well.
Thanks, Darwin.
Really appreciate it.
Hope you're well, man. Thank you, Trey.
Absolutely.
We'll
all
see
right,
you in the morning, buddy. And there they are, Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas, live at the Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.